Morning, my name's Dave, and I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm abstinent today by the grace of God. And I put up my background picture is my is a picture before that when I was big, and turn the sign down. My goodness, I know a lot of people here. I didn't expect that. I got to tell the truth now. I came in the program August 17th, 1976, at about 300 pounds, and I got here through my story isn't unique. I was obese all my life. I know I when I was 21 years old, I weighed 240 pounds, and I had nicknames Porky and Tubby and all, just all kinds of that kind of thing that men do to other men, and so you're not you ever heard a woman call another woman a name that related to obesity, where women are more civil, I think, but that's what happened to me. And looking back at my inventory work, they told me to take a sweep the searchlight all through your life, and like it says in the book, and I've done that over the years quite a bit, and I learned a lot about myself. And other than the regular inventory where you get rid of all the write down all your resentments and fears and things like that, the first one that I did. And then I ran into a guy named Pete Peterson. Then he came over from AA, and that's a guy that got me started on working the program. But I'll back up and say what I used to be like. And I ate all day long at work, and I ate other people's food that you didn't want to eat. My kids would just pass their plate around to me, and I would finish their dinner, before I got married, though, I tried the I worked for a guy up in Los Angeles on his racing cars. I was a mechanic, and I lived with him in his house, and he told me that I needed to go see this doctor that he went to, and he was overweight too, but he sent me to the diet doctor, and he's trying to help me, I guess. And Dr. Stanley Z. Gilbert in Azusa, California. And I thought he was the greatest thing in the world. I'd never seen anything like it. He gave me these pills and a shot every week. I stood in line with all the ladies. There were no men there. And he rented a little house in Azusa, in the neighborhood. And there was a line, all around the block, and I got in line. And for, I think it was $6 or $5, you got a packet of pills. And then you can, and then after a while, and I stopped my appetite, and I after a while I said, I'm starting to get hungry again, Doc. And he says, well, here, take two pills at each meal, and then it was three pills at each meal. And I went down to visit my mother, and she told me, she says, what do you how are you how'd you lose all that weight, Sonny? I said, I go to this doctor and he gives me these pills. And she says, let me see those. And so I showed them to her, and your mother's always right. And she said, those aren't good for you. That's a drug, and it's not good for you. And I was very disappointed that she wasn't supportive, of course. And that lasted for a while. And then I went out to the bowling alley where I hung out as when I was a teenager, and I think I was 19 years old then. I went to see if any of the guys were there anymore, and there were some of them there. And there was a girl that I used to see there when my nickname was Porky, and her name was Judy Radinsky, and I thought she was the most gorgeous thing in the world, And I walked in the pool hall, and I think I weighed 190 pounds, and my boss bought me some nice clothes, when I lost weight, and she ran up and threw her arms around me and said, Dave Bird, you are really handsome with your weight off. And I just didn't know what to say. I just was dumbfounded. I could not think. And I was just, I just froze, and I realized now and after the fact when I was writing about it years ago that I got really angry at myself, and I went to the Speedy Mart, which is now 7-Eleven, and I bought a bunch of food. I don't remember it specifically. Won't mention that. And I that that well, it was the end of that, and then the weight started coming back on. And so then I met this woman, and she had two children, and so I married her. And I later on, when I got in the program and started writing, I realized I what I reason I married her is I loved her kids, and she was a nice lady, very nice lady, and she passed in the 90s or something like that, so so I had a family, and I bought a house, and gonna do that, and I went to work every day, I had a good job, and then I, when I got done, I'd come home and flop down on the couch. I would eat a bunch of food and fall asleep. I just, I kept getting bigger and bigger. And she was, man, she was cooking and baking. And oh, man, she was. And that's what Lori did. That's what her number one thing was, cooking and baking. She wanted to make people happy by cooking and baking. And there's nothing wrong with that, And so I finally got, really fed up with how big I was. After a while, it gets painful, of course. And so I had health, and I got some health insurance from where I worked. I had a got a government job, and so I went to the I went made an appointment. I went to see a doctor of internal medicine, and Dr. Mary Janian, a little thin lady and everything, and she was very nice. And I said, "Well, I need to lose weight, And she said, "Well, just here's a here's a food plan, and just follow the food plan, and come back and see me in a month, And so, man, I took that home to my wife, and she cooked all the meals and weighed it and all that stuff, and I came back, and I think I lost 14 pounds, and she says, "Well, okay, that's wonderful, Dave, that you're doing great. Just keep it up. Come back in a month." So, then I don't know how many months I went back, and after that, she says, "Well, you know how to do this now. You don't need to come and see me all the time. I have other patients, So I think it was Christmas time, and the guys in the shop, I worked in a shop with a bunch of guys, and they said, "Look, we're having a potluck. You're not going to screw it up with your diet. You go back on your diet Monday." And so, yeah, that made sense to me. I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. So, I ate, and then Monday never came. You know what happened? Monday did. I wasn't back on the diet on Monday. The compulsion was triggered, and so I gained more weight, and so I went back to her and I said, "Look, your diet didn't work. Look at me, and so I want to see. I want the stomach bypass surgery." This was in the 70s, sometime in the 70s. Because it just came out, I think, and somebody told me about it, or I read about it, or saw it on TV or something. And she says, "Well, you're not a candidate for that. I'm not going to recommend that for you because you don't have congestive heart failure. That's only for people that are really bad shape." That's what she told me. And I said, "Well, then I need to see a psychiatrist." I really told her that. I said, "Because, man, the way I eat is crazy, And I just went through the whole diatribe of how I ate all day long, and I talked about my wife. I'd be eating breakfast, a huge breakfast, and I'd say, "What's for dinner, honey?" And she would tell me, and I would think to myself, "I don't really like that, And so I would, on the way home, I'd drive through a drive-through and get something to eat, and then I'd come home and eat what she cooked because I didn't want to hurt her feelings, of course, So that's how that was a condition I was in. Just so I'll leave it at that, So anyway, I went back and I said, "Look," to the doctor, and I said, when I told her I needed to see a psychiatrist, she said, "I don't think you need a psychiatrist." What she said, "I think what you need is a support group." She says, "I know of two, Weight Watchers and Overeaters Anonymous. The only thing I know about them is one costs money and the other one's free. So that's why you know me. I went to the free one, And so I went to the Wednesday night meeting at Second Pepper in the auditorium of the middle school, And there were, I think, maybe 10, 12 people there, women, no men. There wasn't any men all the time I was there. And that's the only meeting I went to. I didn't want anybody to know I went to, I didn't tell anybody I went to Overeaters Anonymous because I wanted to lose my weight and get the hell out of there. But I never met people like you before. I never heard people talk and understand what I went through with my overeating. I'd never heard people talk candidly about that. And it was a new deal, and I liked it. And they were nice to me. You know, they didn't expect anything out of me. You know, and they welcomed me and asked me to come back and asked me to coffee. And so I went to coffee with them. And man, and then I listened to them and they said, you know, what you need to do is you need to get a sponsor. And then they explained what a sponsor was. And of course, I got a sponsor. Her name was Helen. And they said, now you call Helen up every day and you call in your food and you get the food plan here, the gray sheet food plan. That's what we had. And you don't need any sugar, flour, wheat, coffee, tea, or low calorie drinks in between the meals, one day at a time, and do the assignments, 30-day assignments. Then you get to be a food sponsor. Oh my God, you know. So, but I was desperate. I had the gift, what they call nowadays, the gift of desperation. And so I did it. I called Helen every day, and I called in my food, and that's all we talked about. She told me what she was eating. And I did the assignments, and I lost 130 pounds. You know, and I don't know. I think it took a little over a year. You know, she said, "Well, men lose weight fat." And I was in a race because we tell each other what we weighed, how much weight we lost, and it was a competition. You know, I wanted to lose weight faster than Helen. That's you know, that of course that's crazy. You know. And so, you know, as time passed, I needed to go to more meetings, you know, and then I met a man, and I liked that, you know, he's a nice man. And then a lady came and led the meeting and invited me to go to another meeting down in San Diego, which is a big meeting, you know, you might like it on Wednesday night. So I went down there and I met a bunch of people. And all those people were doing the same thing that I was doing. And so I got to know a lot of them, and a lot of them have passed away by now, but there's a couple, three of them that are still around, you know, and I've known them for 40, 45, 46 years. And they were, you know, they're involved in the inner group in the region, and they were sponsoring people, and they were, you know, they were involved in what was going on, you know, and I got invited on the retreat committee. I didn't know why anybody would invite me on their retreat committee. And so, I mean, that's a long story for 25 minutes. But what, you know, I had never really worked the steps. And as a result of me getting involved with these people and doing all this stuff and sponsoring women, I had to sponsor women. There was no men. There was about five men in the program that I finally met. And my wife got jealous because you did for me what she wasn't able to do, you know. And I'd lost weight. I was helping out around the house, which I never did, do the dishes or anything. Made her very uncomfortable. I understand that now. I didn't at the time. And so she divorced me, you know, without going any further. And my divorce paper said respondent suffered severe personality change as a result of the program of Overeaters Anonymous. And so I went over and slept on this guy's couch that I met, Rick White, and he wanted me to be a roommate with him. And I couldn't, you know, and then I went to another meeting and I met a guy named this guy Pete. And he just got out of he just came over from the AA program. And he was sleeping in his car because he got divorced too. And we were talking after the meeting. And he said, "Why don't we get an apartment?" And I says, "Well, I can't afford an apartment, you know." And he says, "Well, we could share it. We could share the rent, you know." And so this guy was something else, you know. I never met anybody like him. We went to the Denny's restaurant, and we had a newspaper, and he put us. He says, "Where do you want to live?" I said, "I want to live by the ball." I said, "I was managing a youth baseball team," he put his finger on the ad page. And it was 174 Roanoke Road, apartment 12. That's where we moved into. It's a three-bedroom apartment. So, I mean, and you know, what a coincidence that we, you know, we got a roommate. So there's three people, guys paying for their place, and So I could afford that because I was paying child support and alimony. And then, I was, we didn't, but we didn't have any furniture. We didn't have any. We didn't have a kitchen table, a couch, TV. I didn't have a bed to sleep in. So I was in my bedroom sitting on the floor crying. And he says, "What are you crying about?" I says, "Pete, we don't have anything. We got an apartment, but we don't have any furniture. What do you mean? What am I crying about? What am I going to do? I went from living in a house where I had two electric of everything, And he said, "God's going to take care of us. In 2 months, this place will be full of so much stuff, we'll have to give some of it away." And I went, "Oh my God, this God stuff, And he would drive his car. He had an old Ford LTD that burned oil, and it fouled the spark plugs. So I go out there and clean the spark plug because I was afraid he wouldn't be able to go to work and pay the rent. That's what I was afraid of. I was afraid of everything, but that was just one of the things I was afraid of. And then he'd go to Pacific Beach 20 miles and pick up some lady and drive her to the El Cajon meeting and then drive her back home and come home. I said, "Pete, you can't, that car is a piece of crap. Why do you do that?" He says, "It's not, it's not my car, it's God's car. This is God's apartment and God's going to take care of it." Oh, here we go. And the God, but he proved to me because all those things, that car never broke down, And I mean, I could talk all night. I call him up every year, maybe more than once a year, and thank him because I tell him you're the author of my faith, and he is. He's the one that got me through demonstration to believe that there was a God, that God could take care of me, and then all the other people taught me that God loved me because I was an adopted child. So I read my adoption papers, and they said that my name was Robert Lee Henderson, and it got changed to David. But it said on there that I was the illegitimate child of Mamie Alessio and United States Navy Chief William Henderson. So I bought it. That makes sense to me because I feel like a failure. I'm a big, fat, dumb, stupid guy. That's how I came here. That's how I came here. I'm not that way now. Thank God to the people that helped me. I've had some great sponsors. And I finally got a male sponsor, and that's when I started to grow. But Pete helped me write and helped me see the patterns in my life and just so many things. And I learned so much from that man. And that's what this program is, is you grow. Now we were talking this morning about the new year in the For Today book. And I can't stay the way I am, I have to keep growing, and I've been through so many, as a lot of you people have been around, though. You open up, you peel this onion, as they used to say, and there's more stuff underneath it, But so today, I'm abstinent. I've had a lot of things. Nobody gets this life unscathed. My first wife passed away after she divorced me, and she had cancer. Then my second wife passed away in 2014, and that was horrible. But what I learned about there was grief. Who wants to learn about grief? But being a man and not being in touch with your Pete used to say, "How do you feel, Dave?" I said, "I feel bad. I just feel bad." He'd say, "Well, bad's not a feeling. Can you be a little more vague?" And that's the best I could do was bad, and so. I learned, I mean, that sounds kind of silly, but I learned what feelings were, because my mother and father never talked about their feelings. They just fought all the time till they got divorced, And today I go to my favorite meetings to go to are the men's meetings. And I met, I mean, if there's any that was anything good about the pandemic is the Zoom meetings. I've met men all over the United States, all over the world. It's been wonderful, because I'm a man. I discovered that in this program too, that I had male initiators. That's a whole different subject, and I discovered why I was a weak male, so I go to lots of Zoom meetings. I sponsor a lot of guys, and And I sponsor a couple of women asked me to sponsor them. I sponsor them. One lives in Florida and the other one lives down the street here, and I know her husband and all that stuff, so there's nothing going on there. So, that's what I do. And I get up every day and I go into my bathroom and I read my meditation. I say this all the time. And I read it and I put it down and I go, what did I just read? And my, cause my mind, I got a busy mind. Like my sponsor Virgil said, yeah, Dave, you got a busy mind. And so I pick it up and I read it again. Ah, there he goes. Put God first, or whatever it is, and there's a scripture there. I read my Bible and read the scripture. And if I, sometimes I have to read it three times. Anyway, the next thing I do is I put on my sneakers and my gear and get my gloves and my hat, and I go out the
That
door and I
was
go for a
20
walk.
minutes.
Thank you very much. I'll wrap it up here. And I go for a walk, God gave me the willingness to go for a walk every day. And I walk for, I different places, 3, 4 hours, or not three, I mean 3 or 4 miles. And then I listen to a 6:45 phone meeting that's on every day. And I made a lot of friends on there too. So, you don't ever have to be alone in this program unless you want to be. And then I probably go on one of the Zoom. I go to on a Zoom meeting, a really good one, 9:30. It's a lunch thing out in New York, and there's some great people on there. So, and then I take phone calls and fix my abstinent breakfast and go on through the day, And then Gene and me, my buddy, we put on the Southern California Men's Retreat every 2 times a year. So that's a lot of work. So we work on that, So there's a lot of stuff, and then service with the helping out in the inner group and things like that when I get a chance. And that's what my life is like. And right now I'm studying. I'm reading a book, not a program book, but it's I'm a student of grace. I'll end by saying I go to a couple book studies. My favorite book is the AA 12 and 12, because that's what they had when I came in. They didn't have any OA literature, so that's what you had to read. Mark out the words alcoholic and put in overeater, and mark out the word alcohol and put food in there. So I've studied that book quite a bit. Been through it a lot of times, I started the step study. I started up the men's step study in 1996. It died in a restaurant, and the guys asked me to help them start it up. So I said, well, I'll start it up, but it can't be in a restaurant, and it's got to be a step study. And it's still going on Sunday morning. And then I started one on Saturday morning at 10:30. It's still going too. That was in 1999. And I'm proud of that, because my sponsor told me, he said, you want to get out of your pity pot, you better go to some step study. Well, there isn't any, Virgil. He said, well, then start one. So then I started one on Wednesday during the pandemic. It's still going too, a men's step study. But in that book, there 23 times it says the alcoholic says they're sober by the grace of God. And I go, what's a religious word? What am I going to do with that? So I started studying grace. And everywhere, I've been really enjoying myself, and I've took notes and everything here. It's my sponsor Terry, my other sponsor I had, he drove by a church one day, and he was going to the before the meeting, and he saw a sign out in front of the church that said, "Salvation is received, not achieved." And so when he came to the meeting, he says, "You know what I did? I changed the word salvation to abstinence." He says, "Because my abstinence was received. It's a gift. You can't earn it, you know." So then every morning we read On Awakening in the Big Book, and that's what it talks about in there. Happens automatically without any effort on our part. So that's what I want. I don't want to be on a diet anymore, or white knuckle. I'm not there. I'm receiving that grace today, and I'm speaking my faith that I have faith in God, and I believe that God's removed my obsession a day at a time. I don't know about tomorrow, but today I've had a my food's done with today. It's all over. It's complete. And that's so that's I'm just a regular ordinary guy, I with the disease of compulsive overeating. And page 30 applies to me in the big book. Over any considerable period of time, I will consider myself not an overeater. It's happened before, so I stay busy with this thing, so, and I love it. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.